Hey everyone, it's Zeno. Today I'm going to be talking about probably the nerdiest subject in my arsenal, that being pencil and paper RPGs. Okay, well, first of all, what the hell are pencil and paper RPGs? Well, remember that game you played when you were a kid, whether it was, Cops or Robbers or Cowboys and Indians or I Shot You? It's that, but now there are rules everyone can agree to. The other side of it, the side I'd like to emphasize, is the collaborative story-building effort of about half a dozen people. There are two elements of these games that are universally true. The first is that someone is running the game. Their titles range from Game Master, Storyteller, Dungeon Master, basically whatever each game calls it to be. Their job is to create the setting, the antagonist, and the conflict in the game. The only other really essential thing you need is players. It's not really a game until you got everybody around. They're the ones who keep the story going through their own actions and efforts. Maybe not as shiny, virtuous heroes, but at the very least, protagonists. It may sound like things are missing, but I promise you, all you need is other people involved. I mean, you don't even really need paper anymore. If you have convenient access to a computer, you could save all your information in something as simple as a text file or all the way up to an interactive PDF character sheet. Same thing goes for dice. I mean, if you have ready, convenient internet access while you're playing, you just Google for die rolling programs. They're not going to hide from you. Even AOL Instant Messenger has a die roll command in the chat rooms. In general, the internet has done great things for gamers. Now we can form communities and play regardless of geographic limitations. I also found a couple of really cool sites where you can purchase PDFs of core rulebooks. It's all done with the publisher's consent, it's all legal, and there's usually a sizable discount since you're not buying a whole book. Still, I wasn't incredibly thrilled until I found out that some companies were releasing their old, hard-to-find, out-of-print stuff, and then there was just dorky, giddy excitement. I realize gaming this way isn't the most common pastime, but I want to dispute the stereotype of these greasy teenage power nerds. There's no denying it though, if you play pencil and paper RPGs, there's something geeky about you. Bear with me though. A few months ago, I was invited to a weekly Thursday night Dungeons and Dragons game. I went in knowing that I would have to record this, so I was on the lookout for all these nerdy little nuances. And believe me, they were there. We abbreviated everything we could, we disputed rules, we argued about them. We rolled not only 6, but 8, 10, 12, and 20-sided dice. And at any given minute, one of us had our heads in a book. There was the fun stuff, too. I mean, this group was the first time where everyone had a fully fleshed-out character. History, beliefs, ideas, personality. It was great. But every week, something happened to remind me of who we actually were. Right at dinner, we turned into 7 guys just having pizza and beer. Talking about, like, wives and kids, like, 'cause half of them had families already. And I thought to myself, holy shit, that's the secret. Regular people are doing this. Alright, fine, maybe for some people it's talking about college football and arguing about how much I hate Ohio State, but for others it's pretending to be magical elves and shit. You don't have to stick with medieval fantasy, though. I mean, since Dungeons and Dragons has come out, it's been done a million times. It's been done to death. I do have to acknowledge, though, that D&D is where it all started, and this whole subculture of gaming wouldn't be possible without it. It's a lot like my anime show, though, where I said there's something for everybody. The range in genre is pretty impressive. To make this a little quicker and easier, I'm gonna go by time frame, and I'm gonna try not to drop too many names. First, we have the sword and sorcery stuff. That's going to be Dark Ages, medieval, all the way up to, and sometimes including, the Renaissance era. Here I'm speaking developmentally because, while it's obviously been modeled on Western Europe, Dungeons and Dragons isn't going to be taking place there. Anything high fantasy is going to be based off of this admittedly large plot of time. The next big one is imperialism. All of your classic naval warfare and pirate games are going to be here, or are going to be modeled off of this era. The next significant time is the end of the 19th century. This is going to encompass the Old West, Victorian settings, and steampunk. Steampunk is still the same time, that last 50 years of the 19th century. But the huge fictional element is the technology. All the contraptions Jules Verne and H.G. Wells wrote about are basic examples of steampunk. As for Victorian stuff, there really are no games like that, but it's actually a staging ground for the first setting of classic horror. Anyone who's taken high school English knows why. Next is the first half of the 20th century. Here there's pulp fiction, pulp noir, the first mafia games, the second block of classic horror, a lot of stuff revolving around the two world wars, and anything from 1933 to 1945, the storyline is going to be that the Nazis had something to do with it. The Nazis always have something to do with it. The only thing bridging the gap between then and now, I think, would be a game called Spycraft. It's a mix of CIA, KGB, and James Bond stuff, spy stuff. The modern era is kind of a boring area of gaming, personally. It's mostly comprised of fuel tankers exploding, action movie kind of thing, or squad-based special ops stuff. Then maybe an X-Files setting. The future games, the sci-fi games, are the ones I really like. There are a couple of post-apocalyptic zombie games out there. Some are Mad Max-like, and you get all the apocalypse without the zombie. There are more hopeful games out there where we are all still alive and we get to space, even if it is under the control of a mega corporation, but what are you gonna do?
It really doesn't go far beyond space travel. I mean, if you keep increasing the tech levels, you're just going to be warping reality. A lot of movies, TV, books, and even other games have made it into pencil and paper form. There are about three or four different versions of Star Wars. There's a Call of Cthulhu game. And then you got stuff like Stargate, Wheel of Time, a Warcraft game even. Joss Whedon's big three, Buffy, Angel, Serenity, they all have games. Marvel Comics has even made a couple of RPGs. A while ago, I figured out that West End Games, the people who made the original Star Wars, also made, using the same system, a Ghostbusters game. And I don't know if anyone else is excited about that, but I flipped when I found out. Along with my stupid timeline thing, this licensed game list is just an abridged version of what's out there. If you really want to get into games, you have options outside of just D&D. I've only vaguely described how to play, so I'm going to kind of revisit that now. So once you have the pencils, paper, dice, people, PDAs, laptops, computer towers, and what have you, what do you do? Usually the game master is going to describe the setting, maybe give you a little background information, and then he's going to say, "Ready, go," or "What do you do now?" All games are propelled by the group's actions and their characters. I should actually word that the character's actions. It's not what you would do in a setting, it's what this character who was born, raised, and educated here, what they would do. Otherwise, you're going to get the players who go, "I'm going to fuck up Reggie's guy with my lightsaber. Ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho. You stupid." That then turns it from just "I shot you" into it adds in a base form of improv acting. Some people go so far as to write character histories and maybe even a session-by-session journal, which is always cool to see. I mean, it really adds another level to the game. It's not essential, though. Every game should have role-playing, though, because if you're just in it for the number crunching and the die rolling, that's gaming at its nerdiest. I mean, no one should ever spend more time working on their character, the number side of things, their stats, than actually playing the game. That should be enough for now. Before I go, I'm going to ask a couple of questions, hopefully get some feedback. If you're getting this over a subscription feed, I invite you to the blog, which is somethingsomethingpodcasts.blogspot.com. I think you can comment without registering for Blogger, but come hit us up anyway. I think we have an email, but I haven't asked. All right, so questions. What has your experience with gaming been? If you've played, what did you play? Were you running it, or were you a player? If you haven't played, what is your outlook on gaming like this, people who do it? Would you ever be interested in it? You know, give me some feedback. Let me know. I'm out.